few legal decisions in recent history have been so widely derided as the one handed down last week by a federal court in California. The court ruled that reciting the Pledge of Allegiance in public schools is unconstitutional because the words "under God" violate the separation of church and state. Sixth grade teacher and commentator Daniel Ferry has been thinking about the court's decision and about his own decision to remain silent during the pledge.
10 years ago, before the morning bell rang on the first day of school, one of my students, Chad, came to my desk and he said he needed to talk to me. He said, Mr. Ferry, I need to tell you something. When school starts and the bell rings, well, I can't say the pledge with the rest of the class. I don't want you to think I'm being disrespectful or anything, but it's just that in my family, you see, well, our religion, we're not supposed to say the pledge to the flag or to pledge to anything. So I'll stand up and I'll face the flag, but I can't say the words. I hope you understand. More out of instinct than thought, I said, well, fine, Chad. He smiled relief and sat down. I was thinking, did he have to do this every year on the first day of school? How did his other teachers react? Then the bell rang, and the students scrambled to get their papers, binders, and last bits of gossip all in order. The intercom squeaked, and the class stood up, faced the front, and started reciting the pledge, along with a disembodied voice crackling from the wall. Chad looked over at me for reassurance. I nodded. He gave a small smile, nodded back, and then faced the front, his hand over his heart. It wasn't until the pledge was over that I realized he wasn't the only one who hadn't said the words. I hadn't either. I had been too deep in thought. What thoughts, what ideas our country is founded on? Ideas of freedom, of speech and thought and faith. Ideas that are beautiful in conception but difficult in practice. It is easy to condemn the blatant abuse of these ideas by others. The grotesque crimes of the Inquisition, or of the Taliban, who punished by publicly mutilating or hanging those who failed to display the faith as they had prescribed. But grotesque abuses committed by others can blind us to others more subtle. It is difficult for a people of faith to balance our personal faith with our public life, to separate our faith in God from our faith in governance, our personal professions of faith from our public prescriptions for it. So we have official declarations of faith on our coins, in the Congressional Prayer, the opening of the Supreme Court, and in 1954, we stitched one on the pledge to our flag. It is not for me to decide where we legally draw the line between honoring our country and praying to a God. We must leave that decision to more qualified constitutional scholars, like congressmen and presidential press secretaries. But it is my job to try to do what is best for each of my students, no matter what their faith or lack of it is. That is why, when the morning bell rings and we all stand and face the front, I stand too, respectful but silent. So that others like Chad will know that while we expect them to show honor to our country, I will not make them pledge faith to my God. When a student asks why I don't say the words, I will tell them about Chad and ask them what they would have done. To decide that, we must consider these powerful ideas our country is founded upon, and we must learn to understand those ideas better, those great ideas. Those ideas woven into the flag which we turn to and we honor each morning.
Daniel Ferry teaches sixth grade. He comes to us by way of Chicago Public Radio.